Here are the ingredients, a little new school. Some soul. A little R&B.
There's a limit to my love. There's a limit. There's a limit to my aching. How did I ever?
And a taste of old school. The heart of Bristol. Keep on moving. You're listening to Ujima 98 FM.
Hi, I'm Meg Cox and I'm a sustainable fashion stylist and runway event organiser.
And I'm Mary Miner, a singer, songwriter and performer, and you're listening to the Persona Power podcast.
The Persona Power podcast is about using sustainable fashion and self-care as tools to step into your confidence, protect your mental health and strengthen your identity.
Because when you know who you are, you can thrive anywhere, on stage, online, and in everyday life.
Hello, welcome to the Persona Power podcast. I am Meg Cox and I am a sustainable fashion stylist and owner of a styling business here in Bristol called Clothe Mod. And today, unfortunately, we don't have Mary with us again. I am missing her dearly, but she hopefully shall be back soon. She's just having some personal things going on, so sending her all of the best at the moment. So I am here today hosting the show. I'm very happy to be back and chatting with you all, and I'm hoping that you're having a wonderful, wonderful time, wonderful day. So as per usual, I am here with some fashion news first, and I always look up what's going on in the world of fashion. And I have a love for sustainable fashion. It's something that is a major passion of mine. It's a major part of my business. It's been a major part of my life as well. Like, I grew up in charity shops with my mum and my nan. It's where I feel it's my natural habitat. And within my business, I make sure that I only ever style with sustainable and mainly secondhand clothing. It's where you get all the cool stuff, trust me. So saying this, I have brought to you, I'm bringing some news to you that's actually from the high street world. And this is because I like to look at fashion over all sides, sustainable, high street, like everything that's going on, because it's really important to be aware of as much as possible so that then I can have a better understanding of the world, the trends that are going on. And I think it helps me to offer support to my clients that is a well-rounded opinion. I don't want to be there preaching. There's also a lot of negative and fear-mongering that I actually experience and I see from the sustainable fashion side of fashion. Fashion. I didn't necessarily need to say that twice then. And I also don't enjoy that. I think we all can make our choices more consciously and we can shop more consciously. But at the end of the day, it's also an expensive thing to do. So I like to give you as much information and give you a more unbiased opinion on what's going on, and then so that then you can make your own decision as to how you want to shop and how you want to dress. I want to give the power to you. So yes, let's go into the new story of the day, which is that Topshop is now back on the high street. Yeah. So if you don't know what Top Shop is, it was a major, major high street fashion store. It's been on the high street from, I think, 1994 as its own flagship. But it's actually been around since the 60s. And I think that it being on the high street again, it's a big thing because there's been a lot of conversation around like what the future looks like for the high street. You know, online shopping has massively boomed, and especially after lockdown, that really catapulted and halted a lot of the high street when we couldn't go shopping. I love the experience of going out and shopping, whether that's charity shops, vintage stores. I think it's something that you can experience with your friends. It also gives you an opportunity to, you know, feel things literally. Like, how does it feel on you? You can try stuff on. And it's something that I don't particularly like within online shopping, is that you don't know really what you're buying until it arrives. Yes, it's convenient, but is it when you're having to send it back, or is it when you don't like the feel of it, and then all of a sudden maybe you've passed the day that you can return it, or I don't know. It's something that has also increased a huge amount of wastage in the fashion industry as well. A lot of returns don't even get put back up on the website, and they get either destroyed. They get, I don't know. It's a very vague information that we get about how these big online retailers deal with returns, but I don't think it's that ethical or sustainable. And that's why we see a lot of online retail clothing in charity shops. Like the amount that I see of Boohoo, Misguided, all of that, it's mainly because it's easier for people to just give it to the charity shop if it doesn't fit properly and they can't send it back and that. Like, anyway, we are deviating from the story. So let's look into where did Topshop come from. So it began in 1964, actually in the basement of a department store called Peter Robinson in Sheffield. And it was started by Raymond Montagu Burton, and he then founded the Burton Group. And then 10 years later, Topshop then became a standalone brand in 1974. And in 1978, Topshop opened. 1978, Top Man opened as a result of the decline in men's tailoring services, which interests me a lot because, like, around that time, that's even before the 80s, but it's a counterculture, and around that time, just before, like, around the 80s boomed, when, you know, we had, like, big structural silhouettes going on. It's interesting that the Top Man opened as a counterculture to that and offered affordable menswear clothing, because tailoring is not cheap. So it's an interesting observation that we can always look at what's going on in trends and what's happening there, but there's always going to be something that's countering it. And that was, yeah, aimed to, and fashion, and Topshop was aimed to sell affordable, trendy clothing to younger consumers. And, you know, kids, the youth are always trying to keep up with what's on trend. And I think Topshop then, it drove a lot of that. The trends, and a lot of trends that we see today, and especially trends that are coming up, like trends come around they used to come around every 20 years. You'd see like a style coming back in, but now that, you know, we've got technology, and there's a lot of communication is way easier. We can see what's going on the other side of the world, like within a few clicks of our phone. So trends tend to come around a lot quicker now. But it at the time, it filled a need. You know, the youth wanted to look really cool. They wanted to follow all of the, you know, what the celebs were wearing. And Topshop offered that. And it was affordable at the time as well. So then in 1994, Topshop opened a flagship store in London, Oxford. And this was big. This was like a two or three story building. So this was massive. And then in 2002, Topshop was then bought up by Philip Green, who was part of the Arcadia Group. And the Arcadia Group, they would have Burton in there, loads of other massive high street. And the high street ended up becoming a bit of a monopoly, you know? And then in 2009... Topshop was the first high street fashion store to have a runway at London Fashion Week. So this was another big thing, and I remember watching a lot of those runways, and I used to it definitely drove that need, the want to be a part of that. You know, it was almost like a bridge between the like normal everyday person and then, you know, the big luxury fashion world as well, because before then it was very very gatekeepery. It was very somewhat is still today, but it was kind of like it was a positive, and it was like an encouragement for everyday people, I guess. Like, we can have a little bit of what they are doing and what they are doing, and their fashion shows were pretty good as well. So anyway, then in 2007. Topshop had a collaboration with Kate Moss, which was massive as well. Because around that time, like, Kate Moss was like the best, the most popular, most in demand model. And around that time as well, it was somebody who was a great ambassador for that. Like, Kate Moss wasn't always a great role model, but it really aligned with the business. And then in 2016, there was another collaboration with Beyonce with her Ivy Park, and then that stopped in 2018. So they had some really big collaborations going on. They were a real staple of the high street. They were something that, you know, everyday people could get involved with and buy from, because they were yet still quite affordable. And then 2020, what happened? COVID. So when COVID hit, just before that, Topshop opened more stores in the UK. And I remember the conversation around that, because even though Topshop was advised to focus more on the online market, they instead went against that and opened more stores. And at that point, they had over 300 stores in the UK. And obviously, during COVID, nobody was shopping. And they ended up closing all of their stores. They closed down. A few years after that, they started trading online through ASOS. So they then did end up going online, but I don't think it was like a huge uptake on that. And then now we see them in John Lewis. And it's an interesting like collab between John Lewis and Topshop, because John Lewis is like a quite a well trusted and well established department store, and its customer base is definitely older than what Topshop is and was. So I guess it's a good way to bring in more youth, more younger people to the stores. So I guess it's a good move for them. But I had a little spy on what they were selling on John Lewis, and as I usually do, I have a little investigation around the fabrics that they're using, and also looking at the price of it, because obviously Topshop started with the ambition to offer affordable, trendy clothing, and it is definitely slightly more expensive than what it was, but inflation and whatnot, I guess. Like a typical pair of jeans on there was £50, and they were 100% cotton. So yeah, great, well done, Topshop. We don't want elastane. We don't want that in our jeans, because what that does is that will stretch. So you'll wash your jeans and then you'll put them on and they'll fit perfectly, real snug, lovely, and then before the end of the day you've got a saggy bum, and that's not what we want, is it? So something I do, a little tip for you, is when you're shopping jeans, look at the label and only buy 100% cotton jeans. Do not mess with the elastane, because it's not good news. So yeah, £50 for a pair of jeans, 100% cotton, great, well done. But then I came across a vegan leather jacket for £80. Okay, and initially you're gonna be like, great, vegan leather, $1. Well, no, so something that a lot of high street fashion does, and high street and online retailers of fast fashion, they will greenwash things like vegan leather to kind of abide by the, I guess, the cultural movement around the ethical side of leather, and we'll say it's vegan leather, but it's just plastic. It's just plastic. And they still charge like an arm and a leg for it. Like, why? Why couldn't they come, like, Topshop comes back into shops and they've actually, like, looked more into the fabrics they're wearing. They're in John Lewis. John Lewis is about, like, quality and trust and things. Like, why are they still working with plastic? Please, tell me. Tell me. Like, so what you can do when you're shopping for coats and jackets is looking at the fabric content of it. So in that jacket on the Topshop John Lewis store was made out of polyurethane. I can never say it properly. And polyester. So anything that starts with like poly or sounds a little bit synthetic, that's usually not a sustainable fabric. And so there's loads of affordable vegan leathers out there as well. So the conversation around whether it would be more expensive, it might be like just slightly, but it's gonna be breathable. It's gonna feel more valuable. It's going to make you then feel better for wearing it. So there's other vegan leathers that are called there's actual vegan leather that's made out of cork. There's vegan leather that's waxed cotton, and there's also apple leather. There's loads of different ones. Like it's achievable for these brands to do it, but profit margins are definitely, I guess, important. Well, they are important, but I was hopeful to see, when I saw the 100% cotton jeans, I was optimistic about seeing some more sustainable stuff, but alas, I was too optimistic. So when I was also looking at the stock that they had, most of it was already sold out, which I was not necessarily surprised by. What happens is when something like this comes back up, because Topshop was such a staple, I remember, you know, wanting to go shopping in Topshop with my friends when I was a youth. I would just save up all my pocket money to have a look in Topshop to see if I could afford anything. And when I was younger, my mum and my nan, like I said earlier, we were in charity shops. Like, we did not particularly shop new in the high street often. It was kind of this like aspiration to be able to look cool and look like everybody else at the time. But I'm really grateful that I didn't grow up in shopping in those stores. So anyway, I understand this mass mania around wanting to buy into this new shop that's back again. Oh my God, I'm going to look really cool. I'm going to look this, I'm going to look that. Like, I'm buying into the cool thing. And that's just that mass mania. And it's something that is... It's a good and effective marketing and psychological effect that a lot of these big brands and big businesses have on us as consumers, is to create that mass mania, which does drive trends. And it's actually like it taps into our fear receptors. And the fear is actually a powerful sales technique short term. So what it does is it taps into a behavior, into our behavior of our fight and flight. So it makes us impulsive. It's something, you know, have you ever felt FOMO? Like, fear of missing out. You see all your friends in it, or they're like limited collection, or they're like selling out now, blah blah blah, and you're like, oh my God, I need to do something, I need to buy something, and that's yeah, that's how they get you. And you make an impulsive buy, it arrives and you're like, oh, it's this, it's that, it's actually plastic, it's blah blah blah. You're like, oh, I can't really be bothered to go and send it back, or blah, blah, blah. And then you do send it back, and then it just gets wasted by the brand anyway. It's something that is an impulsive decision, and yet it doesn't really make us feel any better for making that impulse buy. So what I'm suggesting is that we be a bit conscious around how we spend our money within fashion, because especially at the moment, like, things are tight. You know, there's a lot of pressure around money, and I think we need to be a bit more conscious about how we interact with shopping and with these brands, because it's easy to get caught up in that fear. And I'm here to give you some positive encouragement instead, because I'm all about positive things and encouragement. And like I said earlier, I do not want to be here fear-mongering you, because I want to encourage you to make your own decisions. I'm giving you the information. I'm letting you know what's going on in the world of fashion. so that then you can make your own decision on what to do. So positive encouragement is the counter of the fear-mongering that a lot of big brands do to make you buy into their things. So positive encouragement is another method, and that it offers a long-term effects to purchases. So it fosters confidence and creativity, and a sustained encouragement as well. So positive encouragement is a tool. So it aligns with clothing in the way that it empowers you through it. It offers you comfort, and it also offers you identity building. So, you know, I love to work with my clients in that I offer lots of different styles and eras and fits that may align with my client. So before my client arrives, they will fill out a form for me that just gives me a little bit more information as to what they're looking for, their size, and they can upload photos, they can tell me about their muses, who they admire in terms of fashion. And then I will go and source things that may align with them. Sometimes I'll push them out of their comfort zone a little bit, but sometimes I will really try and nurture the things that they are comfortable in as well, because it's about meeting in the middle. And that's where you find, where I see people coming out of their shell a little bit and trying things on and being surprised by certain things. And what I do is I come away from the pressure of aligning with what's cool and what's new. I'm not there telling them what they need to wear or what they should wear because of their body shape or what they should or shouldn't wear because of their skin tone, their hair color, their eye color. Like, that just puts people in a box, and I really cannot, I can't deal with that. Like, it's not what I'm about. And it's something that I have observed with other stylists, is that a major part of their process is like working with color theory, working with body shapes. And that's the thing they start with. And yes, color theory is definitely a thing. But why are we saying that people can't wear certain colors or can't wear certain pieces of clothing because it doesn't suit their skin tone or doesn't suit their body shape? Like, how dare people say that to you? Like, do not let anybody tell you that you can't do anything. Like, you definitely can. It's about just exploring that color, that era, that shape, and seeing how it can work with you. It's about opening the door. It's about saying yes, let's explore that, rather than no, you can't because of this, that, and the other. Like, how dare anybody say no to you? No, but yes. So it's, and that's what I am here to hopefully communicate with that with you today, is that, you know, our possibilities are open. Everything is there for the taking. We can say yes to everything, but it's how we do that and how we can positively do that within ourselves. Are we saying yes out of fear? Are we saying, oh my god, yes, I want that because everybody else wants that, or because you're being told that it's only there for a short period of time, or you're being told that this, that, and the other? Like be conscious around why you're saying yes and also why you're saying no too. Don't say no out of fear. Don't say, oh, I don't want that because I've been told that green is not my colour. I get that so many times with clients. They will also tell me in the form, like, whether there's certain colours that they enjoy, that they like. They're also asked if there's anything that they wouldn't be seen dead in. It's a very important question. because it also allows me to understand like the counter of their style, what they don't, what they really don't want to look, and that's a really important thing for me to respect. But if there's a few things in the middle where they've said, oh, I really love reds and pinks, but I really don't like yellow, but they haven't said anything about green in there. Okay, so maybe I'll put a couple pieces of green in there and see how they approach it. If it's no, that's absolutely fine. That's absolutely fine. But it's another opportunity to branch out. Okay, so maybe they didn't want to wear any yellows, but what if they are actually drawn to yellow, but they've just been told that they're not allowed to wear it because of this, that, and the other? Because it's not right with their skin tone. But this is where colour theory is important. If you wear it with something, another colour, then, you know, that could work. Anyway, I feel like I'm almost going over time. So I will be back after the break. Stay locked to UG Meridian 98FM.
Keeping you informed. The BBC News, brought to you by Ujima Radio.
BBC News for Bristol. Hundreds of thousands of British people are still trapped in the Middle East as America and Israel's offensive against Iran continues. The US military says it's destroyed Iranian air defense capabilities, missile and drone launch sites and airfields, as well as command and control facilities during what it calls sustained operations. The Gulf states nearby are also being badly affected. Ian Scott from Somerset is stuck in Doha and the airspace above is closed. He says there's very little information from the Foreign Office.
And I just got a bit angry when this morning, I think I saw on BBC News that Yvette Cooper said, you know, and we're looking after our nationals in their interests and doing what we can. Well, we haven't seen any of that as the people on the ground here, really.
A bright red bench will be officially unveiled at Bristol's Harbourside today as a living tribute to a local schoolgirl born with a severe heart condition. Ivy had a life-saving procedure at just 2 days old and open heart surgery when she was only 9 days old. Ivy's bench at Narrow Quay is one of 65 to be installed across the UK as part of the British Heart Foundation's 65th anniversary.
I feel really happy to have a bench, especially one that's striking red. It's a very unique, colourful bench. It's a very nice spot to just relax and have a look at the water and just... it's a nice place.
A community iftar celebration is taking place in Weston-super-Mare this evening. Iftar is the meal eaten at sunset to break the fast during Ramadan. 600 people are expected at the event at the Winter Gardens. Finally, two Bristolians have beaten the Cornish at their own game, winning prizes at the first Global Pasty Championships. The competition was held in St Ives at the weekend and saw Max Baker win for his chicken in barbecue sauce, while Vanessa Farr also took an award in the individual category. That's the BBC News for Bristol. You're up to date.
The BBC News, brought to you by Ujima Radio.
You're listening to the Persona Power podcast with Mary Miner
and Meg Cox. This is a podcast about identity, personal style,
also self-care and mental well-being as armour for both online and offline life.
Tune in on Tuesdays from 1 to 2 p.m. on Ujima Radio 98FM. Hello! Welcome back to the Persona Power podcast with myself, Meg Cox. I am a sustainable fashion stylist and I own a styling business here in Bristol called Clothes Mod. So, today we have been talking about Topshop being back and how to approach that and some observations around their stock and things like that. So we have also touched upon the difference between the fear and the positive encouragement consumerism methods. So that's where we were talking about how we can approach shopping in a more positive mindset rather than submitting to the FOMO, the fear, the fear of missing out, which we have all felt at some point in our lives. So I observed some customers in my shop yesterday. No, not yesterday. What? It was a few days ago now. days just melting together. And it was a group of girls, and they must have been early 20s, and they all looked very different. One of them was in really bright, colourful stuff. Another looked very grungy, and then another was in a hoodie and a pair of leggings, maybe. Who was in just like really like dull colours, and they were all kind of like shopping, giggling and stuff, having a good time, I hope. But the girl who was in the hoodie, she picks up one of my tops from a shop, and it's very colourful. You know, there's even like little glittery bits on it. It was very in your face, very dopamine dressing. It was out there, okay. And she picks it up, and initially the girl who's wearing the bright colourful stuff, her face lights up, and it was clearly something that she was interested in. And then after she did that, the girl who had picked it up, she goes, "Who would wear this? This is disgusting." I was like, "Oh, of course, I'm a little bit hurt, because that's something from my shop and I love it. Like, I love a bright, colourful thing. I love, like, it's just, yeah, it was amazing." Anyway, everybody has different opinions. Everybody is different. But then after that, I observed the girl who was in the bright, colourful, the lady who was in the bright, colourful outfit. All of a sudden, her face dropped. And she was like, "Oh, yeah, oh my God, that's gross." She was conforming to what her friend had said. And she looked so crushed. Oh, it broke my heart. She looked like, you know, she all of a sudden looks really uncomfortable. And it broke my heart, because I think everybody should be allowed to wear and dress how they want to wear. The world would be so, so, so much more interesting if people felt free to do that. And there's many reasons that people don't, and fear is a part of it. And what I also thought was, why did the girl who picked up the top, why did she feel like she had to project her insecurities through that? You know, what she was trying to do is trying to show that she had this like this authority over like what she thought was cool and what wasn't. And really what happens when people are doing that is they are projecting how they're feeling onto something else and onto other people. And maybe she was insecure, and you know, that bright, colourful thing, that's something that she couldn't even imagine wearing, because it's something that people would, you'd be seen in that. And being seen, it can be a really scary thing. And it's something that as you explore your style, and as you try to as you start to come out of your shell, you'll come up against that fear of being seen, and the fear of, you know, people seeing you. And it can feel really uncomfortable. It's easier to fade into the background. It's easier not to be seen and not be open to criticism and judgment. That's part of it too. And it's totally understandable to feel like that. But it's also, it's okay to be seen. And it's okay. And do you know what? From whenever I wear super bright, colourful things, I end up always having conversations with strangers. It sounds really strange. But I always end up, having people coming up to me or saying something about my outfit. So I was on the bus home a few weeks ago. And I had, I can't remember what I was wearing entirely. But it was very bright. Oh, no, I was wearing my black and white checkerboard fur coat with, was it like a bright pink beret and something else? It was very garish. And I was standing up. The bus was packed. I was standing up on the bottom. And an old guy and his wife was sat in the, like, disabled, elderly, was it the priority seating? So I was standing kind of next to them, and this old guy, he was just like, "You look great." I was like, "Who's speaking to me?" I was like, "Oh, hi." We started having a conversation just about fashion. And I found out that he used to have some flares in the 70s, and he said that they were really, really wide flares that they'd like flap in the middle when he was walking. I love that detail. And he said that he also, I asked him if there's also anything else from his wardrobe in the past that he remembers, and he said that he used to have an aviator jacket, and he loved this jacket, but he was never able to afford having like fur on the collar or anything at the time, and he said that he's still got the jacket. He said it doesn't fit him anymore, didn't fit around his belly anymore, but he still has it like in the attic. And he remembers wearing that aviator jacket when he used to go to Glastonbury. And he remembers watching Canned Heat whilst he was wearing this jacket. And it's amazing that clothing can have such a hold in our memories, and they can become so sentimental. And that the kind of moral behind this is that clothing can open communication channels with people. If I was wearing some real dull clothing, I would never have had that conversation with him. And I think that that's something that, please remember when you're exploring your style more, and when you're trying to combat that fear of being seen, is that opportunities arise when you're seen. They really do. I love having conversations with people. I was also having a conversation with a lady who she was trying on one of like a purple coat that was in my shop, and she was wearing all purple, right? Everything that she was wearing was purple. And she asks me, "Is this too purple?" And I was like, "No. It's a lot purple. There's a lot of purple going on. But it's not too much of anything. Like, don't minimize yourself just because you think it's too much. Like, if you clearly love purple, wear it. Why not?" You know, we need to empower ourselves to do what we want. Like, we don't need to be restricted by stuff anymore. Unrestrict yourself. Anyway, I'm going to go off to a break soon. So if you're enjoying this, I hope you are. I'm enjoying chatting with you today. Please stay locked to Ujima Radio 98 FM, and I shall speak to you in a moment.
It's International Women's Season on Ujima 98 FM.
Jane Elliott, we don't need a melting pot in this country, folks. We need a salad bowl. In a salad bowl, you put in the different things. You want the vegetables, the lettuce, the cucumbers, the onions, the green peppers. To maintain their identity, you appreciate differences.
Ujima Radio, celebrating and elevating womanhood.
Join me, Paul Obinna, with Sister Jan Dai and the Glocal team, as we bring you Obionics, tools for rebuilding your consciousness. Every 2 weeks at 12 noon, commencing Friday, 23rd of January, on Glocal, ujimaradio.com and 98 FM. Stay aware.
It took me less than 30 seconds to request my repeat prescription on the NHS app.
That's quicker than making this brew.
And I save time by not ringing the GP practice.
Win.
Plus, with notifications turned on, I know as soon as I get a new message.
Big win.
So there's more time for this tea break.
So did you go to that restaurant?
I did. It was so
good. We're delivering an NHS fit for the future. Request repeat prescriptions and turn on notifications to never miss a message. Tap the NHS app.
Nation was live and legal in the city, understand? I may say, pre some things where people don't mean at the past. Knock like some perfect, everybody have them flaws. Long before the COVID thing, then off of them, I wear a mask, yeah. OJ, my radio station. Solid, solid energy forever, man. A we say solidarity.
Hi, I'm Mary Miner.
And I'm Meg Cox.
And you're listening to the Persona Power podcast
on Ujima Radio 98 FM.
Hello, welcome back to the Persona Power podcast with myself, Meg Cox. I am a sustainable fashion stylist and I own a styling business here in Bristol called Clothemod. So we have been talking all about the positive ways to approach style and positive ways to approach consumerism and shopping and stuff, because it's really easy to get caught up in the FOMO of stuff. So it's how we can be a little bit more conscious of shopping and how we can also shop with better impact on our mental health as well, because it's like that FOMO can really incite a lot of negative feelings about ourselves, and that's not what I want. I'm here to empower you. I'm here to make you feel good. I'm here to encourage you to step out of your box and wear more garish stuff. Be seen. Don't be scared to be seen, because you look amazing. So I wanted to give you some alternatives, high street alternatives to Topshop. Earlier in the show, if you haven't been listening, I brought you some news that Topshop is back in John Lewis, and I am a sustainable fashion stylist, remember, so I'm not here to tell you to go and shop there. I want you to make your own decisions. If you're going to shop there, have a look at the fabric content. Have a look at whether it's made with natural fibres or whether it's made with plastic. Don't fall into the vegan leather trap. It's just plastic. Anyway, some high street alternatives for you. So Nobody's Child is a great one. So I've got a couple of dresses from Nobody's Child, and I actually found them in charity shops. Okay. I didn't buy them new, but they are so comfortable. They are so soft. They are made with 100% cotton, and their prints are also lovely. And the fit of the dress is gorgeous. Like, I look fantastic in the dress I got. And I actually found another dress of theirs, and I gifted it to my friend for Christmas, and had loads of cherries on it, and it was just really delicious, really gorgeous. And she's slightly smaller than me, but she says that she loves it as well, and it fits her beautifully. And yeah, it's just about looking to the alternatives that are going to make you feel better. They're comfortable. They are also better for the environment as well. And our skin, it's not good for our skin to have plastic next to it all the time. It's not breathable. It's bad. So that's why we need to look at the sustainable alternatives. So there's another one, which is Cezanne, which is good for the girls who want to wear like the chic French style stuff. It's quite similar, actually, to the Topshop style, but it's all sustainable. It is a tiny bit more expensive, but you get what you're paying for. That's another thing to ask yourself. When you're buying high street, it might feel affordable at the time, or it might feel you know, like you're getting a deal. Maybe they're saying that the sale is only on for blah, 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 getting you into that FOMO mindset to make impulsive decisions. But how long is it going to last? How is it going to make you feel in the long term? Is it just a trend that's here temporarily and before you know it, it's going to be gone and you're going to feel the need to buy something else to feel cool again? Like, don't let yourself get wrapped up in that. Take a think. That's terrible grammar. Take a moment to think about how you are feeling at that time and why you're making that decision to buy that piece. Are you making it out of impulse? Are you making that purchase because you feel like it will make you more worthy having that? It'll make you look cooler. Or are you buying it because you enjoy that brand, you really love what it looks like? Maybe it's been in your basket for a while and you're wondering, oh, you know, is it worth buying that at the moment? But then you decide, yes, actually, because it's made from sustainable fabrics, it's made, you know, ethically, all of their workers, I know their production line, I know this, everything is transparent. Like, it's a good place to spend your money because our money is hard earned. No, like, we shouldn't be throwing it away like that. So yes, so no, have a little look for like Nobody's Child, Suzanne. There's also a lot of like shoes are ones that I think are important to take care in purchasing because shoes are hard to produce and They're how we get around, you know. Our little tootsies are how we wander about the world. We need to be comfortable. They also need to be durable. And it is unfortunately one that also falls under the greenwashing of vegan leather. It may be vegan leather, but that means that it's plastic. And plastic, your feet are going to sweat. They're probably going to break in like no matter time. Don't waste your money on it. Have a look around for some brands that are working with actual vegan leather, apple leather, cork leather, even like with coats and jackets, the waxed cotton is a great one. We don't have to buy plastic. It's gonna literally outlive us all, so just don't do it. Don't waste your money on it. So there's always alternatives to it. So I am still trying to encourage you positively. I do not want to be here fear-mongering you. Make your own decision as to what you feel good in, what makes you feel good. Just be aware and conscious of your shopping behaviours. Just be aware. Just have a little think sometimes. It's easy not to think in the world. there's a lot of stimulation going on. Everything wants to do your thinking for you, but no, that's you can do that. So I'll give you before we finish. I want to give you a few steps as to how you can start to empower yourself more within shopping and within your own style. So have a little look at the things that you already enjoy in life. So what films do you watch? What are your favourite characters wearing? What are your favourite musicians wearing? Have a little look at the colours that are in your world and in your house. Like, what makes you feel good? That's a good starting point for you to explore your own style. Have a little research, like have a little look at some sustainable brands. Have a look at Suzanne, have a look at Nobody's Child, have a look at some other brands. Check in with your own wardrobe. Are the things in your wardrobe, or are they making you feel good still? If they're not, they can go to the charity shop. If they are, cool. How can we restyle them in ways that make you feel better? Start to have a little look around. Just go and immerse yourself in shops. You don't have to buy anything immediately. You just go and be there, so then you can start to feel what vibes do you align with, or charity shops just intense? Do you find you're a bit overwhelmed in vintage stores? So have a little look online. Just instead of doom scrolling, scroll on Depop, eBay. Have you been looking for that coat jacket that, I don't know, the biker jacket that you've always dreamed of? Have a little look on there. Have a look. Start looking at how you can construct outfits. Do you love accessorizing? Do you love jewelry? Are you a hats person, or are you not a hats person? And then something I do suggest is when you put a really great outfit together and you're like, look amazing, take a photo and keep it in a album on your phone, so then you can look back on it when you're having a really busy morning and you're like, I don't know what to wear, but I've got to get the bus in like half an hour. Have a little look on that album. Just replicate a great outfit that you've already done. We don't need to make it hard in the morning. And then let your style change. We evolve as people, so allow your style to evolve as well. Don't get stuck in the same thing. Anyway, thank you so much for listening today. I hope that you have enjoyed the show, and I will look forward to speaking to you next week. Have a lovely week. Take care. Keep it locked to 98 FM Ujima Radio. Bye.
We are the children of Bristol Cathedral Choir School. And you are listening to Ujima Radio 98 FM.
The real sound of Bristol.
Are closing in again. Been stacking L's, so you know you're overdue a win. I know the pressure screams loud, but just take care, because this game of life has never played fair. Gotta learn to shake fear clean when it knocks and gets hard to survive. A crash course until the finish, it's all part of the ride. When cruise control meets roadblocks, things won't slow down. That's why I keep a fire in my soul that won't burn out. Sometimes we build these walls believing they're a way to protect us. That's like trying to pass a test once you've missed all the lectures. We've all done it, and it might work but won't sustain. I'm strong in public, but the eyes show a world of pain. I wish they didn't, that's the scars of survival mode. Yeah, it stays to protect, but might burn your soul. Sometimes it feels like the only way to hold on. But fam, you gotta hold on.
I need a little mercy on my soul.
The tide, trying to read that message from a bottle lately. Been lifting weight to make sure the house of cards don't topple daily. Can't trouble safety, used to music that those demons play me. Wish it didn't take hitting ground floors just to elevate me. So now it's back for the win. Been putting work back in the gym, yeah, I'm still back in some gym. Looking to escape some of that damage within. Please show some mercy, cause one way or another we're all battling sins. So pick your poison if you must, but don't run it until it's last legs. That current's strong enough to take us all before our last breath. Learn from the scars, never the wound, I get it, it's a hard step. But no one wants to have to talk about you in the past tense. Man, I guess we learn on the job. Sometimes this life will happen, atheist still yearning for God. Working through trauma as I write, that's something verses won't stop. But we're all part of this show until those curtains
drop. I need a little mercy on my soul.
Shattered. party broken. Fine matter to you at all. No longer hoping.